remind myself of that every day. No matter what comes our way. Brother Kip, we've been praying for you, my friend. Let me tell you what, you got the victory, brother. You got
Amen.
The victory.
Amen.
Now, in the back here, we got four young men sitting back here. First time visitors over here. Glad to see y'all. Now, y'all love on them. I know they're Tennessee fans, but y'all still love on them anyway. This guy right here. Okay, all right. We forgive you here. It's open. I'm just kidding. We love everybody, brother. We love everybody. We got any other first-time visitors with us this morning here? Who else we got over here? Brother over here, good to see you. Yep, young lady over here. God bless you. Man, it's good to have y'all here. Right back here, brother. Glad to have you this morning. It's just a wonderful day, isn't it? I want to thank y'all for what you did for me and my wife and Pastor Mays here. We love y'all. We're family, and we're very touched and honored by that. So you're in for a special treat this morning. Some of you may have known this past Wednesday was Miss Becky's birthday. She passed away, our first lady here, the start of the church with Pastor Mays, passed away in January, the end of January, and Pastor Mays got a promotion at that time. He became our pastor emeritus, the overseer of our church, and we're so grateful that he did spend 28 years
Amen.
Building this church and doing what God called him to do. And I'm very grateful that he took me under his wing. We were probably the two most opposite guys that you probably could imagine getting together. And I called him a nut the first time I heard him preach. But he's a good man. I love him.
Amen.
And he wants to get up. He's asked me. I'm honored to say this. He's going to come and share this morning in honor of Miss Becky. Now, listen, she's in heaven today.
Right.
Where are you going when you get out of here? That's an important question. That's the most important question you can answer. So today, we're going to celebrate her a little bit. And if y'all would, I want you to please give a good God bless you and a welcome to Pastor Mays as he comes up and shares with us this morning.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't need all that Can y'all hear me? Okay. Yeah. But I told Pastor Michael back a couple weeks ago, I said, Becky's birthday is October the 8th. And I said, I hadn't preached in a year. And so I said, I want to honor her because everything you see today, this church, everything here today, is a result of one woman that had the faith to have a pair of socks anointed.
Right.
So I honor her today. In October the 8th, 1967, I had come back from Vietnam and I hadn't been long out. I spent 2 months in a army hospital in Japan. And so when I got back, I met her on a blind date. Because what happened, my mother back at that time, there's no computers and all that. But the Nashville Banner put out an article, if you've got a son in Vietnam, send us a picture, and we'll put it in the paper. Well, she sent my picture to the Nashville Banner. Well, in Vietnam, I started getting letters from these girls. I mean, man, like they would have roll call. They'd say, Johnson, here's your letter. Harris, here's your letter. Sergeant Mays, here's your sack of mail. I mean, I had letters from everybody. But I got this girl that was writing me a lot. And what she had did, she took a picture of Becky, my future wife, in a bikini in the snow. And I thought, man, I said, you talking about a knockout. And I want you to understand this. I never had a date in my life. I had never dated a girl in my life. I went to the Army, never had a date. I got out, and so this girl worked at National Life and Accident Insurance Company. So I said, well, she wanted me to come meet her. So I'm at National Life and Accident Insurance Company in Nashville, a big, big, tall building. I'm sitting in the lobby. So I'm looking for Becky. And finally this girl comes up beside of me, and she says, Herbie? And I looked, and this girl weighed about 350 pounds. She said, I'm the one who's been writing you. I said, man, I tell you, something has changed here. Then she said, look, my best friend Becky is the one I sent you the picture of. So I said, well, the nice guy I am, she said, her birthday is tomorrow, and we want to take her out on a birthday. Do you know someone that could go with you, and we'll double date? Well, my cousin was the same age as I was. He wasn't married or nothing. So I said, Larry, let's go over there, and we'll go over there. So, and we go to Becky's house that night, and we done picked up this big one. And we go to Becky's house that night, and we knock on the door, and I said, my God, this is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life. It was a picture that she had sent me. So the nice guy I am, I rode in the car. We went somewhere to eat. I don't remember what it was. The next night, I called Becky. The next day, I called Becky. 3 months later, we were married. And we was married 57 years. And she went with me and on the mission field with Panama and Jamaica, came back here. But I want to share just a little bit how this church came to being. And so in 1 John, I want a couple of scriptures I want to give you. In 1 John, the second chapter, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, the Bible says this, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, with your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable will of the Father. Now, as I was thinking about this on Wednesday on Becky's birthday, I got all these little cards that she used to send me. She would put little cards out all the time, maybe in by my bed or something, and little cards how she loved me and all this kind of stuff. So Wednesday, I'm going through all of these cards, and I'm having a real bad day. And I'm thinking about all that we did and all that. And so as I was there in my office, and I was, going through all of these cards and everything, and this word came to me, and it really set me free. And the word was, she left you for another man. So I got happy about that. And then out here at the monument, Wednesday, I was able to put her in the monument with my son and her picture right out here at the church. And so I got better, got over that. But the number one thing, and I was going to title this message today, When My God Met God. Well, what is your God? Well, we know the Apostle Paul in Acts. Paul is on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, and he'd been killing Christians and persecuting Christians. And so he's on the road to Damascus. And the Bible says a bright light shine. And he fell off his horse. And he said, Who is this? Is this God? And Jesus spoke to him and he said, This is Jesus whom you're persecuting. Paul's God met God on the road to Damascus. Now, our first ministry in Panama was Damascus Road Ministries. I was going to get it. That was oil. I was going to drink it. Well, there ain't no water up here, so it ain't going to worry about it. But anyway. Well, you hit it. But I got thinking about that and everything that Becky did and all of our life. I was in church, raised in a Baptist church, in church all my life, really. I was a deacon in two churches, not saved. So I knew a lot about church, but I wasn't saved. And so in 1989, and I was in business. I spent, now, brother, I'm going to have to go to, if I had drank all that, I had to go to the restroom. Appreciate it. But in 1989, I had spent 20 years in the post office. And I'm driving up I-65 one morning, Becky and I'm driving up I-65, and I get to Bethel Road Hill, and this word came to me. Now, I was going to church, but this word came to me and said, Paint and Paper Shop, White House. I knew nothing about paint or paper, wallpaper. So I come on home and I talked to my brother-in-law. I said, I kind of got a feeling we had a paint store. It would do good in White House. Well, to make a long story short, we started a paint store. In 1989, I had sold part of my business, of a paint business, and I started a carpet business. And in 1989, we were in the carpet business. I had the carpet store. I had a paint contracting business, and I built houses. Now, I'm a 10th grade dropout, so that shows you God can do a lot of things. And so I had all of that business going on, and here's the thing. During that time, I had built a house, and the preacher's son was doing some work on my house, and he run up a bill on my house of $25,000 and left. Well, I left the church. And I said, if that's what church is, I'm not going back. So I wasn't in church. And so in 1989, I told Becky, now here's the thing that I want you to get over, that maybe I can get to you today. I was not going to church, but when I had my carpet store, my paint contracting business, and built houses, after the preacher's son beat me out of that money, I left church every Sunday morning. I didn't go to church, but every Sunday morning, I gave Becky my tithe check on my business to that church that I wasn't going to. And my business prospered. But in 1989, I told Becky, I said, we're going to go to Hawaii for Christmas. So we get, I'm in 1989, I'm in Hawaii with Becky. And I said, now, Becky, here's what we're going to do. Every December, we're going to spend Christmas on Waikiki Beach. That was in 1989. And so she said, well, that's nice. That's going to be nice. That's in December. Now, in August of 1990, the church where I used to go, now I'd been out of church 3.5 years, the church where I used to go was having a tent revival. Now, these two here was there, weren't you? Probably the only two that was there, so you know that I'm telling the truth. We had a tent revival, and you was there, okay. We had a tent revival. The church had a tent revival in August. And so, I wasn't going to church. But my little wife, little Miss Becky, had the faith. And my business partner, Ron Stroop, used to tell me, I've never seen nobody that can pray and bring God down like your wife can. It just, she had an inside to God, it seemed like. So that August, she takes a pair of socks to that revival. And she has the preacher, the evangelist, Brother Baggett, pray over the socks. Well, she had them prayed for, brought them back home. She laid them out on by my bed. Well, I put them on that morning. And so I'm driving to Nashville. I got a paint contractor crew, and we're painting apartment complex in Nashville. Becky was in the paint store. I said, I've got to go down to Nashville. I get to Rivergate Mall, and it's August, and I've got the air conditioner on. It's hot. I am burning up. I am so hot, and I am sweating. And I thought, my God, what is going on? I go out to the contract where we had our contract, the painting. I pull in, and the foreman said, Herb, he said, come in here. He said, we got two apartments painted this week. I never got out of the truck. I said, no, I got to go. I'm not going to look at it. I got to go. I come back to White House. I go in to the paint store, and I tell Becky, I said, I'm going to go out here and look at this house that I'm building. But I said, I think I'm going to go to that revival with you tonight. 3.5 years. I said, I think I'm going to go tonight. I go out there to that house. I come home. I take a shower. We get ready to go to the revival. I put the same socks back on. So we're at the revival, and Becky says to her sister, I wish you would look over there. He has put those dirty socks that he put on this morning back on tonight. I'm sitting in the revival. They're having a revival. Brother Baggett comes up. He's going to give an altar call. I heard an audible voice in my head. And the voice was this. You've been dead for 3.5 years. I'm going to raise you tonight. As I heard that voice, I turned around. I thought the guy behind me was the one who said it. The guy behind me was a Baptist preacher that I knew. So I know he didn't say it because he didn't know about Pentecostal or nothing. I get up to go to the altar. I go up there, and Brother Baggett sticks out his hand to pray for me, and I hit the ground. Now, I want you to understand, I used to tease Becky because she started going into a Pentecostal-type church. So I would tell Becky about these people falling under the power of God. I said, I don't know about all that. People come up, the preacher prays for them, and they fall out under the power of God. So I would tell Becky, I would go with her sometimes. She said, well, go to today or whatever. So I would go sometime, and I would always tell Becky, I don't understand this. It's funny to me that when they pray, the preacher prays for these people. It's always the fat women that fall out, not the skinny ones. I don't ever see the skinny girls fall on the floor. And she said, the Holy Ghost is going to get you. The Holy Ghost is going to get you. So I would go on. So anyway, I'm laying on the ground there. Power of God knocks me on the ground. I'm laying there. Now, you were there, right? I'm laying there, and they said my body is jumping like this on the ground. I raise up. I reach in my pocket, and I was a poor boy, but I wasn't always poor. So I carry money. And I reached in my pocket, and I threw everything I had, and I said, aren't y'all going to take this man an offering? Then the power of God knocked me back down. And this voice come to me. And the voice said this. Said, I am Jesus, who you have persecuted. Tonight, I'm giving you a special anointing that when you tell this story, if people will believe, any manner of sickness and illness will leave. Well, I didn't think much of that. And so I got up, and Becky carried me home. They had to carry me home. I couldn't walk. The power of God had done knocked me out. So Becky and her sister carries me home. And so the next morning I get up, and my little wife had given me this Bible. It's been used a little bit. And my little wife wrote this. It was on my nightstand, and she had wrote this. August 22nd, 1990, to my brand new, big, fat, Pentecostal husband. I love you with all my heart. Every tear that I shed was worth tonight. Every stripe Jesus took was meant for this night. August 22nd, 1990, my God met God. I go back to the revival the next night. I go back to the revival the next night. We're coming home. We're driving down 31W Highway in White House, Tennessee. We turn off to go to our house. I stop in the middle of the road. Becky said, what's wrong? I said, God has just spoke to me to get rid of everything we have and go to the mission field. I liquidated, well, I got rid of everything. That was in August. In December, we were in the mountains of Panama. We never made it back to Hawaii on Christmas. It was always in Panama or Jamaica or something. But I think about what she had done. And I was in Panama in 1990, December, and I preached revivals. And I had just preached a 30-day revival. That's 30 days in about 90-degree heat. 30 days I had preached. I would get up every morning and walk around where we lived and pray. And so I'm walking that morning, and another voice come to me. He said, I want you to go to Portland, Tennessee, and build me a church and love the people through the power of the Holy Spirit. I come back in the house where and Becky's asleep. This is like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I wake her up, and I said, Becky, I said, I heard this word from God this morning. It said, we're to go to Portland, Tennessee, and build a church and love the people through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what she said? Let's go. We came back to Portland, Tennessee. We left everything in Panama on January 12, 1990. We had started the church. When I came back from Panama, I had a house that we owned that was leased out to some people. They were 3 months behind on the rent. When we came back to Portland, Tennessee, we left everything in Panama, and we came back to Portland, Tennessee, and I had $42. Nothing in the bank. I had $42. So we go, and I find a little building up here in Portland, our first little building up here in Portland, and I find the building. And so the lady's wanting to sell the building. I said, what do you want for the building? She said, I want $65,000 for this little building. Now, this is in 1990. And I said, well, I'm going to buy it. She said, what are you going to do with it? I said, I'm going to start a church here. She said, if you're going to put a church in my building, I'll let you have it for $60,000. I said, I'm going to take it. Now, I went to the bank. A personal friend of mine was president of the bank that I've done business with. I've done all kind of business with this bank. I go to Tim. I said, Tim, I don't have any collateral, but I said, I need $60,000. He said, Herb, I'm going to give you the $60,000 on your signature. No collateral. Now, who does that? God. And we started that little church. They were some of our first people right there in that little church up here. So we see what God has done. And we came back, and all of this here today, it's been so hard for me to come to church. The carpet she picked out, everything she picked out, her faith, and I look. And I see her, and I see I think about the 57 years and 2 days that I had her. We just never fought. You know, I understand people have troubles, but she's the most gentlest person that ever walked this earth. So I thank God today that I can honor her because of what she did. But to get to the end of this message, I said this. I will say this. When my God was business. That was my God. My God was making money. Now, I want you to understand, God was in all of that because I'm a 10th grade dropout. I done well to add 5 and 5, but God did it. God caused it to happen. But that was my God. But when my God truly met God, my life changed. And so that was it is a thing that I challenge you today. You may be here today. You may not really know Jesus, may not really know God. But I can tell you, if God can take a person as low as I was, raised up in dire poverty, my son that I found dead 2 years ago, he used to tell me all the time. He said, "Dad, you grew up in dire poverty with nothing. And look where you are today. It's because of God and the anointing and presence of God that's on him." But my wife, Miss Jennifer here, was in our church a long time and everything. And so Becky always loved Jennifer, had a special song that Jennifer sung that Becky loved. So I asked Jennifer today if she would do that in honor of Becky. And so I know this probably don't mean anything to you, but it helped me. And so I think because I honor her because of what she did and faithfulness. And when we're in Panama and have living on hardly anything, and she never complained. And we come back here and see all of this property here today, appraised for over $2 million, and it's all paid for. The church has no debt. And Brother Michael's come in and done a great job. I told him when he come here, I thank Ashley really, because the first time he come to church here, he said I was a nut and he wasn't coming back. Is that right? But his little wife said, "No, we're going back. We're going back." So I remember a day. This little guy right here, he was sitting about right here, and the power of God hit him, and he started jumping, shouting, and running, and doing all kinds of crazy stuff. Then he called me one day on the road to his work. He said, "Pastor," he said, I feel like God's calling me to be a preacher." I said, "Let me tell you something. If you'll spend 3 years here with me, you'll learn more than you'll learn in a Bible school ever." And he's been faithful and done everything that I've asked him to do. I don't ask him to do much, but he's done a great job. He's done a wonderful job. And you got a wonderful pastor. But Jennifer, I want you to sing this song that Becky loves, sweetheart, and